All right, church. God did it, right? Holy smokes. What an incredible weekend. So as a reminder, this is our ninth. Listen, anybody else having trouble talking or standing or breathing today? Ninth Faith in Action, and God just continues to show up year after year after year. And I feel like every time we've done this is mine and Chrissy's third year somehow. Here we are. And I every time we're like, all right, God, it's on you, because I don't know about this. So it's been really, really cool to see this come to life again this year, and to see all of you show up in big ways, and then God to work through you has been just incredible. So I have some numbers, because that's who I am as a human, and so if you don't like numbers, well, sorry, buckle up, because this weekend, over 3 days, 2.5 days, some of us 3 days, we had the incredible fortune to serve 11 different homes, and so obviously at least one homeowner in each of those homes, so it was really, really cool to get to know people in our community that we might not otherwise have met. And so it was really, really cool to see that. There were a total over 2.5 days of 54 kids that were a part of our child care program here. So that was really cool. We had 120 goodie bags that Shelly and a couple of girls created to pass out at the community pool. Not all of them were used, so we have plans to continue that ministry. It's just there's snacks and some little notes about Jesus in there, and so that ministry will continue throughout the summer. We had over nine hours of prayer over our community over the weekend. We have a prayer crew that their sole job during that time is to drive around the community and pray and spend time in intentional prayer over our projects, but also just the community as a whole. Although that might be like 8 hours because they got stranded. Sorry about it, Carolyn. But we picked them up and prayed, right? Participate. And God answered. we painted, as you saw, I'll go through some of our projects here. We painted two large houses. The exteriors of those houses, we built a deck. We cleaned a historic building, poured two cement driveways, roofed two houses. A lot of work. Built a retaining wall, fixed and painted a deck, did some yard work, cleaned a home, and did some landscaping. So while that sounds like a lot, it was. God also showed up through the work that we did in that way too. So it was really, really cool to see that. The kitchen crew over 2.5 days served 475 meals here at the church. On top of that, they prepared and delivered 250 lunches. So that was a lot of food coming out of our kitchen and straight into our stomachs. Christy and I personally took 8 trips to Tyson's over 2 days. And I'm sure many of you also did as well. We walked in and they said, "Welcome back." Thank you. Christy and I took 7 trips to the grocery store. And placed dozens of calls to McDowell's. One time we showed up and there was a whole folder of notes, and we were like, we're going to just pretend we didn't see that. So lots of communication in that way. And then this one has the audacity last night to send me a video message and say, "I have an idea for next year." I did not even respond. My notes are all over the place, but that's fine. A few quick things. By the way, I know I'm up here and I talk a lot. I offered it to Christy, and she said no. So don't you be thinking I'm up here not letting anyone else have a chance to talk. Okay, although Philip might tell you otherwise. Some cool things that had happened that Christy and I saw. I'm sure you guys all experienced a ton of really cool things too. But I'll run through these quickly. So, as you know, we were begging for leaders leading up to this weekend. A lot of you stepped up in really big ways, and that was really cool. But what was even cooler is we were thinking, gosh, a lot of the people who have led a lot over the years were not here this weekend. They had prior commitments or whatever. And so Christy and I were like, okay, this is going to be great. But what was so cool is typically it's been our experience that we have a ton of little projects that require a ton of different leaders. And this year, God provided a fewer amount of larger projects that required fewer leaders, but more people to step up. And so you guys know this is no secret. We have a lot of new faces here at Blessed Hope over the last year. And so it's been so cool to see the relationships that are being fostered on site. And that was, we were able to do that a little bit better this year because we had more people we needed at these projects. So that was an answered prayer for sure. We had, as you saw, two roofs that we did this weekend. We were not planning on doing full roofs, but golly, they did it. So one of those things that we showed up and started work and realized there was more to be done. And in those moments, Christy and I are always like, okay, sure. And it happens. And so it's obviously God is just so good and he has plans for it all. And so that was really cool to see. We also had a project. We were talking to Nicole. She led this. It was wonderful. I don't know where you are, Nicole. There you are. We talked about this multiple times after it happened. It was so funny. And I hope you don't mind me sharing. If you do, tough. So we were talking to Nicole, and she was working on this large house, and a lot had to be done. We had to paint and get a lot of people there, and so Nicole goes, do you have any projects that you're, like, kind of worried about them not getting done? And Christy and I were like, uh-huh. And she goes, oh. We said, just one. Yeah. There's just one. And she goes, oh, are you looking at it? Uh-huh. And it got done, and it looks absolutely beautiful, and it was so cool to see that come to completion. So we also had, as I said, a lot of big projects this year, and so a lot goes on behind the scenes as we're gearing up for Faith in Action, and Christy and I started to realize that this was going to cost some funds, and so we have a budget for Faith in Action, but we were like, gosh, we're getting maybe a little worried. This is going to be tight, and so we ended up talking to the missions team about it, and wouldn't you know that the amount that we said we needed to be a little bit more comfortable during Faith in Action this year was the exact amount that they had left over in their budget that month, and they were willing to allocate that to Faith in Action this year. So that was pretty incredible and definitely more than a coincidence. Okay. I am going to do a few thank yous here, and then there's a few people that we're going to ask up to just share some stories. I promised David it would be quick. Last year, it wasn't, and he didn't have a chance to preach, and you're welcome. But this year, I won't let it happen. So, we talked about this a lot. I'm going to go through this list of thank yous, but just know that while I think we should thank these individuals and these parties, it's all God. And so it's really cool that people were willing to step up in the ways that they did, but that at the end of the day, God gets all the glory. So just know this as we go through this list. McDowell's was a tremendous help to us this year. They allowed us to rent their equipment for no charge this year. And so that was huge, and we used it. So that was great. Leaders, again, you stepped up in big ways this year. And so we just thank you so much. And then obviously the workers that came alongside those leaders and did whatever the leaders told them. That's brave of you, and you did great. We have a couple of like non-traditional projects that take place every year, meaning these individuals are maybe not out doing work in the community as you would traditionally think, maybe in this sense. And so I just want to do a special shout out to those individuals, our kitchen crew. I mean, holy smokes. You guys served up some great food, and you worked real hard. So that was great. Our child care workers, you spent a lot of hours with a lot of kids. And so we appreciate that. That allows the people who are going to job sites to drop off their kids, not worry about finding daycare, and being able to focus on that. And then our prayer crew, as I said, 9 hours at least of prayer throughout our community is incredibly powerful. So those were wonderful. Homeowners, I would like to thank as well. There may be some of you here. It's a big deal to allow people to come to your home and serve you. And it can be overwhelming, I'm sure, at times when, you know, like Phil and his crew show up or 100 people are all of a sudden at your door. So we just thank you for the opportunity to serve you in that way. Also, just anyone who has prayed for this ministry over the last year, or the last month, whatever that looked like, they were answered in big ways. So we thank you for that. And then obviously just blessed hope in your financial support. We wouldn't be able to do any of this without the funds that are coming in. And so we just thank you for sharing what God has blessed you with to this ministry. So okay, we, as I said, have a couple people who are going to come up and just share some of their stories. So Pam and Kathy. Also, listen, if you just talk about driving around in that convertible the whole time,
we're Thelma and Louise, if you don't know.
We didn't go off a cliff, though.
So, anyway, what a wonderful weekend. We had best time. I'm not used to this. Okay, we had a wonderful weekend, the best time. Everyone worked so hard, but it was such a rewarding weekend. Our homeowners, Pam and I got to meet all of them, yeah, which was awesome. They're great people. We got to pray for them, and it was just great. A couple things that we're going to say a little bit about. Was, I don't know if you noticed the guy that got the chair in the film, but Pam does garage sales.
Oh, yeah.
And she does really good at them. We were talking back at the church waiting for her because she was at a garage sale. And overheard that one of the homeowners just mentioned that he would like a new recliner. And so when I was talking to Pam on the phone, I said, have you seen any recliners out there? Well, yes, I have. Guess what? We found one for $25, and it was like brand new. That's a God thing.
You're doing good.
So with that said, God is so good, right? Because he connected that. He obviously loves people that garage sale. And so, you know, he connected all the dots there. And Malia and Emily were like thrilled. And they were like, okay, well, we got to film this. And we need a ride. And we went, we got the ride. Okay. And we had so much fun with those two girls. It was a blast. But God connected the dots. He got to the men that were able to come and get the chair and take the chair in this little bitty room. And what was his name?
Danny.
Danny, right, Danny. So he's had projects done at his house before. So humble, so thankful. And when you see that, it, and just see everybody come together, God is so good. I just want to share a quick story. When Kathy and I were, you know, sweating, and you know, it was a lot of work driving that convertible around to pray with people in the shade, and yeah, we suffered, but okay, it's all for Christ. And yeah, and so we're driving, and we're to go to Otto's house, and there was cars parked all over the place. And so we said, okay, Kathy's like, oh, because she knows or is related to everybody in this town. And so she's like, oh, I know them. Well, I want to go say hi to them. His neighbors were sitting outside. So we carry our little bags, right? And we go to meet the neighbors who Kathy knew, and we start talking with these neighbors who were like, what the heck's going on next door? And we were like, oh, that's Faith in Action, and that's our church, and blah, 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 blah. And we start talking with them and hear these ladies' stories. It's a mom and a daughter who lived there. Her husband had passed away, and the daughter was going through cancer. You hear these stories, and they were looking for a church, and they wanted to know more about who this Faith in Action was affiliated with. And we were like, oh, look, we have a bag that has all that information right here. And so we gave them a bag. And I mean, was that a God appointment or what? And she has a daughter that's 12 that she wanted to get plugged into the youth program. So we got to tell her about the well and just God, okay? That's the whole point. He connects all the dots and he gets all the glory. Thank you.
We get to play.
Yes.
So Pam and Kathy have served as what we have decided are called our communication facilitators. How cool does that sound? You're welcome. And so they took time this weekend and had too much fun talking to each individual homeowner, getting to know them and starting to build that relationship. And so when we asked Pam to do this year, we said, listen, Pam, I know you struggle talking to people and sharing your faith, but if you wouldn't mind trying hard this year. So just note to self, they can't ever be together again, it sounds like. So buckle up for next year, because we got to get some more people in. No, that was fantastic. Thank you for sharing. Does anyone else have any stories? Christy and I feel like a lot of things probably happened this weekend that we weren't aware of. And so is anybody else who participated in Faith in Action have a story that they'd like to share? If not, that's fine. Oh, yes. We had a hand raised. Hi. Let me come out. I feel like Oprah. Do you want to come up, or do you just want to stand here?
Can I go with my mom?
Yeah, absolutely. Should I start giving out cars? You get a car. You get a car. No, Pam's car.
Mom, do you want to go first?
You go first. What did you want to say?
I
think she just wanted to say thank you to everyone that helped us with painting our house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We appreciate the help that you gave us with all the things that were going on with us, and we really like our house and how it came out. And we just wanted to say thank you so, so much for the help, guys.
Anybody else want to follow that? Here come Carolyn. We run. That was a jog, let's be honest.
I wasn't going to do this year, but I just can't resist, I guess. It's maybe a God nudge. So I just, first of all, want to thank, we had some new people who stepped up to join the prayer ride this year. And I certainly do appreciate that. And every year, it's always different. And I think each year, do I want to do this again? But it is such an amazing experience to ride through town, to have the privilege of lifting individuals, entities, just everything that we see up to God, and to listen to other people in the cart pray. It is amazing. I would like every single Blessed Hope member to have an opportunity to do that. So think about it between now and next year, and maybe we'll need 10 carts to travel the town instead of just one or two.
I'll drive.
Got a call from Carolyn, and she said, this is a Faith in Action first. We're stranded. I was like, all right, that's fine. Okay, those were pretty quick. Does anybody else have any others before we wrap here? I just want to make sure we don't. Sure, Vanessa, and then we'll wrap her up.
I got to work with the children. I just want to thank all the parents for letting me work with your children and play with them. It makes me feel like a child again being with them. You know, they're hard to keep up with at times, but they got me to go across the monkey bars. I made it, and I believe it was Noah that said, you did great, or he complimented me. He's like, you did good. I'm like, thank you. Now my arms are going to be sore, but I love all your children, and they're a blessing to work with, and childcare comes easy to me because I just love their childlike hearts, and they're just learning about Jesus, and I pray for each and every one of them that they come to know Jesus, and I believe a lot of them will. They fold their hands when they pray, and they're learning about Jesus every day. So thank you, parents, for being such good parents to your children and teaching them about God. And I just had so much fun.
So if you are not aware, not only do the kids go to the parks and everything like that, but they also pray over the parks before they go and they play. So that's pretty cool that our kids are involved that way as well. Sorry. Here we go. Okay. A few last things here. I just want to make sure if you have had provided equipment for Faith in Action that you have not picked up, take a look downstairs. All of that stuff should be near the kitchen area. So just make sure you get that taken home. And then there is a little bit of lost and found. No one left their kids behind. So that's a win. But that's downstairs on one of the cabinets, like in the children's area. So if you need help, if you've lost something, you need help finding that, if you need help finding the lost and found, let me know and I'll help you. But also if you do have any more stories that you experienced over the weekend that you'd like to share, please like let Christy or I know or anybody else, just share those stories. It's so incredible to see the way that God has been working. Not even just this weekend, but everything leading up to it. So, I do just want to pray quickly and just thank God for all of the incredible things he did this weekend. So would you please just pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are just in awe of your incredible goodness and just how grand you are, God. We experienced so many things over the weekend that just would not have been possible without you and without your guidance. We just thank you for allowing us to show up like this and for you to work through us in the ways that you did. God, we just ask that it is all you that is glorified, and that we might just diminish and allow you to receive all the glory, God. We ask that you just keep this in our hearts, not just over Faith in Action weekend, but that you just light a fire in us to continue this type of ministry throughout the year, and ultimately to be your hands and feet wherever you need us. We just thank you so much for who you are and for all that you do. We just love you so much. In your son's name we pray, amen.
Amen. So this is one of the things I love about our church, not just Faith in Action, but also that there's many people that serve and lead, and they seek no recognition. right? That's a beautiful thing. But I think we need to show Haley and Christy some recognition for all the work they did. So I always appreciate video evidence. So I had this great sermon planned, but I felt like after, and you've got to see it, the last scene of that video, I feel like we need to speak about deception and treatment of pastors. There's a longer story there, but pray for Malia. So as you can see, this is the beautiful thing about Faith in Action. You can see by this morning, it's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of great projects and a lot of loving and helping people. But it's also a lot of fun. And you can see that as the joy that everybody has that got to be part of it. And extending that joy to those that maybe didn't get a chance to be part of it this year. And I hope that you see that, that it's a beautiful thing. And we just got done finishing this series speaking about love, you know, that God calls us to. And this commandment of love. And while today I just want to take a few moments and speak into this. And it's not part of that series, but it really is a continuation of it. Because for the last 3 days... we got to have the opportunity to let the love of God flow through us into our community, right? And that's what was happening. If you didn't have the privilege of it, you know, Pam did our devotion yesterday morning and felt the need to start it by destroying, you know, panware that I think like a pan that belonged to the church. I don't know. Was it the first thing Amy said is she leaned over and said she put a dent in it. But Pam wanted to show us that without love, right, the Bible says we're just an annoying sound, that clanging cymbal without love. And listen, for the last 3 days, I hope you felt it. I hope you felt that God was pouring through his people as we go out into the community the way that we're called to, right? Through the fellowship that happened, through the service that was taking place, through the projects, through the conversation, through the prayer, through the laughter, even through the breaking of bread together over meals, we were constantly being conduits of God's love. I hope you felt that. I hope you experienced that. I hope it energized you and what it means to be people of faith. It reminds me of one theologian. I read these words and it just echoed in my ears as I was thinking about this. He declares, "Oh, the precious love of God that was never meant to be stored up but poured out. A living stream that flows from our hearts into the dry places of this world." Right? I hope that you realize that's what Faith in Action really is. Granted, the projects are amazing. I appreciate so much for Haley taking the time to walk through the projects that are done. But the projects, while they're so powerful and they're so awesome, I mean, I'll be honest. I had to do it again this morning because I didn't get to see the finished product. Like one of the houses being painted, I actually drove out of my way to drive by it this morning just so I could see the finished product, right? The projects are amazing. And we should celebrate that and rejoice in that. But the purpose of why we did it is because we want dry places to know the beautiful love of Jesus Christ. That's why we did it. Not so that we can pat ourselves on the back, which again, we're not doing, but I'm saying that's not the goal of it. The goal is because we want dry places to know that Jesus is who Jesus says he is. And Jesus accomplishes what Jesus says he will accomplish. And we go out as his people to do that. So what is the love that we're wanting to share? So when you think about this, when you think about while you were out there and you're building a deck, you're painting a house, you're doing landscaping, and we're desiring the love of Jesus to be in our community, what is the love that we're ultimately hoping to be shared through our presence? Well, we're wanting people to know that they are unique creations of God, that we are created by an awesome and loving God, that we were created by God and were created for God. We want people to know that their lives are not accidents, that they're seen, that they're known, that they're cared for, that God loves them because he has people that because of the love he's given to us, we want them to know that they are loved. Whether that's the actual projects we're working on or it's even the people driving by, Or hearing what's going on. We want people to know that there is an amazing God. The world is trying to tell us constantly, there is no such thing as God. And we're called to be the people to say, I want to show you that there is. I want to tell you that there is. So we want people to know that this love comes directly from a God that created them and desperately wants them. But unfortunately, we also have to be a church that never steps away from speaking the bad news of the gospel, which the bad news is also the avenue to the good news, right? This God that loves us, but we're separated from that God because of sin. And even though we're separated from the sin, and we as the redeemed should be the ones, the first ones that go and express to people, if you feel like you're separated from a loving God, let me tell you what he did so that you could have a relationship with him. Why? Because he did it in my life. Why? Because he showed me his love. He showed me that I didn't have to live a life of helplessness and hopelessness. Guilt and shame, none of that stuff is the thing that's supposed to mark us as Christians. And we go out so we can proclaim to a world that Jesus, the Son of God, died so that they may be saved. That's what faith in action is. And when I say faith in action, I'm not talking about the last 3 days. I'm just talking about life. That's what faith in action is. It's not a one-time event. It's not a one-time experience. But it's the affirmation of the Christian life. We are called to be people that put our faith into action on a daily basis. Actually, what I thought about this, and it kind of excited me because one of the songs we sang this morning says, he turns bones into armies, right? Faith in action is our battle cry. Faith in action should be the battle cry of the church. And as Christians, I wake up this morning so that I can put my faith into action. You see, faith in action is actually love in action. That's what it is. We who are loved by God, those that have been radically transformed by the love of God, go out and love the world. We that are filled with God's grace, go and give freely. Because that's what God's done for us. We go proclaim the good news, the gospel, through our faith in action. So this morning, I just want to take just a couple of minutes. I want us to celebrate something amazing when it comes to faith in action that I don't know if we think about. Maybe you do, but I just want us to celebrate this for a moment as we think about the church. Because when you look at faith in action, one of the things that's cool about it is faith in actually shows diversity in action. Right? It shows diversity in action. It shows people from all different walks of life, from all different ages, from all different experiences, us as Christians coming together as this church, this body. And we go out and we serve as God's people. Diversity in action. Because we are made up of diversity. Think about this just for a moment. It's in 1 Corinthians, Paul speaking. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it's verse 12 and verse 14. But notice what he says. He says, just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Paul is celebrating diversity. He's celebrating our differences, but yet we're united under one head, that being Jesus. So when we think about faith in action, I want us to think about that, but I also want us to think about this when it comes to the church, us, together, collectively. See, God designed the church to be diverse. See, what's cool about faith in action is there's a lot of moving parts. It's made up of many parts. This is one of the reasons I think we always have to show recognition, of course, and we just did it. But when you think about what Haley and Christy have to go through, they're dealing with all the moving parts. Everything from we need tools, we need workers, to where's my ice cream? Right? There's a lot of moving parts that's constantly happening. And that's what faith in action is made up of. But here's the cool part, the power of the whole, right? The power of faith in action, the power of the church, the power of the completion of it is only possible by the uniting of the many. Right? If it wasn't for the many coming together to accomplish it, it wouldn't get done. It wouldn't be accomplished. So this is one of the encouragements I want to give us as a church this morning. There is no part of faith in action that is more important than any other. See, sometimes we can look at faith in action, and sometimes there might even be people here in the church that maybe we step away and we don't get involved with faith in action because we say things like this: I can't do what needs to get done. I can't build the deck. I can't get on the ladder and do this or that. And we make a list of all the things we can't do instead of saying, you know what, it doesn't matter. Let me discover the gifts that God has given me and what I can do. Let me use the diversity that God has given me to be a blessing, whether it's serving in the kitchen, whether it's being with the kids, whether it's just going to a job site and just being some encouragement maybe. Sometimes that might be necessary. There's so many different ways because it's the many parts coming together that creates this beautiful whole that we're able to celebrate and rejoice in. See, and again, I want to compare this again to the church because faith in action is a great example for us to also look at the church as a whole, because many times we do the same thing when it comes to the church. I don't know where to step in and get involved because I can't do what everybody else is doing. Great, because you're not called to do what everybody else is doing. You're called to do that which God has called you to do. That's the beautiful part about the body. It's not about looking at somebody else and saying, I can't be them. Great, because you weren't created to be them. You were created to bring that which God has designed you to be in his body. Again, I love this when we think about what Paul is teaching here. Some of the other things Paul says in this chapter is he says things like this: but God has put the body together. That's an amazing truth if you stop to think about it. God's the one that designed this place. He's the one that brought the people. He's the one that's still bringing the people. He's the one putting people where they need to be. He designs the parts of the body and what he's asking for. So I want you to realize that this morning. If you are here and you are part of the church, God puts you here because he's put us together. And there's no such thing as a part that is not necessary in the body of Christ. All parts are necessary. In fact, one of the things I love about Paul when he's teaching this is Paul actually says, we give glory most to the parts of the body that are unseen. Not to the ones that are up front and everybody sees and can glorify in. It's the unseen parts. Many times it's the part that the world says isn't the most important, but God says, no, that is the most important. Because if it wasn't for the unseen parts, these other things wouldn't be taking place. So we have to realize that God is the one that put the body together, and we can celebrate that this morning. Paul goes on and he says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So again, I hope this encourages us as we think again about faith in action, but also from this day moving forward, we have an entire year until the next faith in action where we better be putting our faith into action. Because we are a body that God has put together, and every single one of us is a part of it. You see, I want you to realize something beautiful this morning. Diversity is not a weakness. It's actually something we should celebrate and seek for, because it's God's intentional design. We're not trying to be like everybody else. The only one we conform our lives to is Jesus himself. And then we discover how he has uniquely created us to serve him in his church. So the application for us with that truth is simply this: let us celebrate our differences rather than fear them or avoid them or hide from them. But instead celebrate them and find ways to use them all for the glory of God. The second truth I want us to think about with this, and it's going along with the same theme, is simply this: our unity is found in Christ, not in our sameness. Right? We've talked about this before, but I feel like we just need to hit on it again. Again, we're not trying to be carbon copies of one another. Right? We're not trying to be the exact representation of each single other person. Like, we're not I'm not trying to be like anybody else other than Jesus. And as I grow more in my relationship with Jesus, I'm going to discover how he's uniquely created me and the way he wants to use me. I only share this because I think a lot of Christians, many times, we spend too much time in comparison. And when we spend time in comparison, we fail to discover what God has created just for us. You know? Listen, I can't be crazy like Pam. Because we can agree, Pam is unique. But we celebrate that. You know, many times I think also there are some of us that God is calling into leadership. And I just want to hit on this just for a moment. And it may not be tomorrow, but God's preparing you for leadership. But one of the reasons that we shy away from leadership is we look at other people that we see in leadership and we say, I can't be them. Well, you're not supposed to be. Some of us, especially men, I want to just speak to you for a moment. You might look at some of the other men that have served our church over the years and some of those that stepped into eldership, and maybe you said, I can't be them. You know, if you actually talk to those men that you fear you can't be like, they'd be the first ones to tell you, don't be like me. Don't ever be like me. But see, we spend a lot of time trying to copy one another instead of embracing the uniqueness that God has created for us. Our unity is in Christ, not trying to be like everybody else. Paul speaks of this also in Ephesians. He says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Notice, that's our unity. Not Paul saying, be like me. Craft your life to look just like me. Because I'm the perfect example of what a Christian is. Instead, he's saying, let's keep the bond of the unity of Jesus Christ. So we should focus on and we should celebrate and we should pursue what unites us instead of finding things that seem to creep in the church and many churches that divide us. Here's the last thing I want to share this morning, and then we'll be done. Mark it. It's like the shortest sermon I've had this year. You're welcome. The body of Christ is never finished. This should be one of the things as Christians we should actually scream praise God. What I mean by the body of Christ is never finished, those doors never close. Because there's always more people that need to come. The body of Christ never reaches the quota. We never reach the moment where we say we have enough. We never reach the moment where we've reached capacity. That there's no more space, there's no more room. We're comfortable with what we have. The body of Christ is always saying there is room for more. Because we want more diversity. We want more people on board in God's mission. We want more people involved in God's family. We want more people to experience the greatness of Jesus Christ. Again, it's something else Paul preached about. He says this to Timothy. He says, Timothy, may we live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You hear what Paul's saying? He's like, the church is never full. The church is never done. The body of Christ is never finished. The body of Christ is always saying more. Bring more. We want more people to discover the beautiful thing that we have. You know, when you think about the body of Christ this morning, I just have a challenge to give to us. Before I make an announcement that I'm excited to make for you all this morning. But here's the question that I have for us. What part of the body are you? Right? What part of the body are you? And that's not a question that's formed to cause any kind, again, of like condemnation or a burden, but it should be an excitement, because remember what God is telling us. We are the body of Christ and we are all part of it. God wants us involved in his body. God wants us involved in his church. He wants to use us and he wants to celebrate his glorious gospel through us. So the question is, what part of the body are you? Like, how has God uniquely designed you to use your gifts, your abilities, your talents to strengthen the unity and mission of his church? And here's one of the most exciting things I think about that question. It's because some of us here right now might be saying, there might at least be one of us that says, you know, I want to be used by God, but I don't see where in the church God is able to use the way he's designed me. You know what that means? That means the church is always growing and adding new ministry and mission. Potentially, it could be God saying to you, we need to do an add-on. And I need you to step up and be the one to foster that and to lead that and grow that or do whatever it is. But sometimes we look at what's available and we say, I don't fit into that. Well, great. That's because the church is not some stagnant thing. We are a living body. We're always growing. We're always morphing. We're always changing. We're always looking at how we can minister and serve not only one another, but our community. Listen, 9 years of Faith in Action. It didn't exist before that until some people said, hey, let's do this thing. I think we should call it Faith in Action. So to think about that, pray about that. Think, just let God guide you in that. Lord, how do you want me to be part of this body? This is one of my favorite verses when it speaks to the church. I'm going to share this, and then I'm going to make the announcement that I have this morning, but it's in Ephesians chapter 4, and I want you to hear these words. It's 11 through 14, Ephesians 4, 11 through 14. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Completely separate sermon, but you can talk to me about this if you want to, but I believe that every Christian, every born-again believer in Jesus Christ is equipped, designed, wired, that you fit within those five that are mentioned. See, the problem is we look at this idea of like, well, I'm not a prophet. Well, you got to understand what a prophet is. Well, I'm not a teacher. Yeah, you are. Everybody in this room is a teacher if you want to get honest about it. We're teaching people around us something, right? Many of you right now are saying, I am definitely not a pastor. You know, I think more of you are pastors than you absolutely can, you don't believe. Because a pastor is someone that God has created, not title pastor, but a shepherd. Someone that cares for others, someone that can love others, someone that can care for others. Right? So I think all of us, so don't read this and say, oh, cool, not an apostle. Whew, prophet, I'm out. Evangelist, never. Right? Pastor, that's only certain people. I believe everybody in this room, if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you are wired and radically and spiritually empowered by the Holy Spirit to fulfill those things. And notice what the Bible says. God has created this in us to build up his people for works of service, to build up the body. Paul goes on and he says, this is what's going to happen when we do that. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You know what I love when it talks about maturity? It's not talking about being boring people. Like, I mean, come on, look at it. Come on, Kathy, Pam. I mean, come on. Some of the stuff you saw in the video, that's not that mature. You can still have fun and be a Christian, right? But we're talking about maturity in our faith, standing firm upon the truth of Jesus Christ, not being blown about like most Christians are, knocked around in their faith because we're not attaining the maturity that God wants for us. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful schemes. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. Don't miss it. As each part does its work. Do you not hear the beautiful thing that God wants to do through us? Through you? Through the part that you're called to play? This is amazing, and it should excite us. It should get us even more excited to say, yes, Lord, let me be someone that lives with my faith in action. So now, as I prepare to close this for today, and we close in worship here in a moment, God has definitely been building Blessed Hope Community Church. Haley mentioned it, that there are people that are part of our church and congregation that are new within the last year, the last couple of years. Up until May, and usually this does happen around summertime, because people are out with vacations and stuff like that. Those of you that have been here for a while, we've had some pretty full Sundays. We're still even full now. Because the reality is most human beings don't like sitting next to each other unless you are like family. You need the buffer seats, right? It's like the only person I'll sit at in a movie is my wife. Other than that, it's like, seat, man. But we've seen that God has been filling our church, and the question has been asked, when we go into two services? When's two services happening? Here's one of the things, and I'm going to tell you today when we're going to go to two services. But here's what I want to say before I do it, because I'm going to challenge this, and we're going to keep challenging it week after week until we get there. Going to two services must never be seen as a negative in this church. Ever. I get it. It comes with some differences. It comes with some uncomfortability. It comes with some questions. It comes with change. I get that. But why are we moving to two services? We are moving to two services because we want to make space for more people to encounter Jesus. We want more people to grow in our community of faith. We want to see more people become devoted disciples of Jesus Christ. This step of faith that we are taking is to reach more people, serve more families, and to fulfill our mission to bring a hurting world the hope of Jesus. We can't say we're about bringing the hurting world the hope of Jesus if we're not willing to make room for more people to come be part of the family of Jesus. That's why this is not a negative thing. It's a celebration. It's an exciting thing. It's something we should rejoice in and say, we can't wait to see what God is going to do. That must be our heart's desire as a church. Why are we moving to two services? Because two services means more room, more opportunities, and more lives changed. That's why we're doing it. So there's the date. November 2nd will be our first Sunday with two services. Now I get it. It's a little ways away still, but we have a long list of stuff that we want to accomplish before it happens. We got to get ready. We got some stuff to get ready, and that information is going to be coming to you as a church as we move forward. I'm extremely excited about it. And when I say get ready, I mean some of our teams need to get ready. Us as staff need to get ready. I got to get ready. I got to start practicing getting sermons a little shorter. Listen, knock that off. All right, let's go back to that sermon about deception and how you treat a pastor. You are killing me. We got some stuff with the building that we want to do. We want to get it ready. We as a church also need to get ready. And here's what I mean as a church, we need to get ready. We're there. I mean, we're getting there, but we have some more that we need to do. So what I'm asking you as a church is if you're not already doing it, start praying. Start praying. Because remember, we're doing this to make space. So you know what the goal of two services is? The goal of two services is not for us to say, there's some more room. No, goal of two services is to say, Lord, fill it back up. Fill it back up. You know, one of the greatest things that I think would happen, in my opinion, is if we went to two services and God said, cool, they're ready. And next thing you know, we're like 3 months into two services. They're like, are we doing a third? What are we going to do? Like, this is awesome. The greatest problem a church can have is when they start looking around and saying, how do we make more room? Because God's bringing that many people. because they want Jesus. Not because they want blessed hope, because they want Jesus. So pray as a church for that. Lord, bring people that want Jesus. And let us be a church that's ready to receive them and show them Jesus. Right? So I'm going to ask you to start praying for this. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to close us in prayer. Tyler, I'm going to ask something. When you come up here, I know you had a song prepared. And I know we talked about it. But can we do, what was the second song we did today? God is for us, or I want to sing that again. I want us to leave with a spirit of celebration in what God can do. I want us to, as a church, get excited and celebrate what happened in Faith in Action and what God's planning on doing the days ahead. And I want us to celebrate together. But would you just join me, and praise team, you can come up as I'm praying. But join me as we just take a moment of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts truly full of gratitude and expectation. You have been faithful to our church, and we thank you for every way that you have moved among us. As we prepare to begin holding two services on Sunday, we ask for your blessing upon this next step of faith. Lord, may everything we do continue to glorify you. Let your name be exalted in this church, in every song, in every sermon, in every act of service, in every ministry, in every heart that gathers. This church is yours, and we long to see your kingdom come and your will be done. Lord, we pray that you raise up servant leaders, men and women of all ages who humbly and boldly step forward to use their gifts for your glory. Remind each of us that we are called to be leaders in your body, each doing the work you've uniquely assigned to us. Help us serve not only out of duty, but out of love for you and for others. Lord, strengthen the faith and devotion of your people. I pray that we grow deeper in the word, that we grow deeper and more faithful in prayer and more dependent upon your spirit. Shape us into stronger disciples who reflect the heart of Jesus in every area of our lives. We ask that you continue to draw people to your church. Those who are searching, hurting, and hungry for truth, let us be faithful stewards of the gospel, sharing it clearly and compassionately so that more might come to know Jesus as their Savior and as their Lord. Holy Spirit, please go before us in this new season. May these two services not simply be about numbers or schedules, but about making more room for people to encounter you. Multiply the work of your hands and deepen the reach of your spirit in our community. We thank you for the opportunity to be your hands and your feet, especially over these last 3 days. We are grateful for every conversation, every act of kindness, every nail that was hammered, every house that was painted, and every prayer that was spoken. Lord, may all of that we have planted through your strength in this community continue to grow and manifest into something powerful, something that bears lasting fruit for your kingdom. We lift up every homeowner and every household we encountered. May they know beyond a doubt how deeply they are loved by you. Let the love we sought to show by being a reflection of your perfect love for them, may their hearts be stirred, their lives encouraged, and their homes blessed by your presence. Now, Lord, help us never fall into the mindset that faith in action is just once a year. By your Holy Spirit, empower us to live out our faith boldly and consistently every moment of every day. Let compassion, service, and love be the natural overflow of our walk with you. All of this, Lord, we ask for the glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our King. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.